question. Can you hear me, Rob?
Yeah, you're in.
Oh, wow, man. You're alive, Saver, brother.
It's been a while since I did it, so I had to remember how to log in as a host.
No problem. No problem. Trust me, I appreciate it. Good Monday evening, everybody. I am your host, or I am apparently the co-host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. it's going to be one of those nights. I'd like to thank Mr. Rob of Bad Badcast DeVore for bailing me out of yet another computer issue that I have here at the Levi residence that I will assure you will be fixed by next week. Anyhow, oh goodness, what's going on, Rob? What's the good word, buddy?
Oh, sorry, I'm muted. Nothing, man. I'm just working in the wonderful world of video editing and all that stuff. There's always something to do every day, so I'm glad that you called me. I forgot what time it was, man.
Yeah, I was scrambling, looking for a bailout, but cool. No, awesome. Real quick, folks, as you know, I like to get to a lot of things. Beginning of the show, I'm already 7 minutes in and haven't really talked a whole lot. Let's see. This month, there's a bunch of fishing tournaments coming up here in the Space Coast area, mainly offshore stuff, but there is word that there may be a very large grand opening, hopefully happening at some point this month for Kayaks by Bow up in Titusville. Those folks there have been super, super cool to me and to a lot of folks that I know. They just built a brand new building on US-1 in downtown Titusville. You can't miss it. It's like canary yellow, big, giant building. And so they're supposed to have the big grand opening here shortly. One of the things that I know that they were talking about doing was having a big giveaway, where they're going to give away a couple of kayaks and some other stuff. So it should be a good time had by all. As soon as I get a definite date, I'll let you guys know. But big news for me and for Kayak Fishing Radio, or for this particular show anyway, and Space Coast Kayak Anglers, is I've got a new sponsor on board, and I'm super excited about it. It's a very good friend of mine I grew up with, the best design guy that I've ever seen. Mr. Ryan Blair has agreed to sponsor Space Coast Kayak Anglers as well as this radio show, and he'll also be a partial sponsor on my brand new website coming out. Hopefully, I said last week, hopefully this week, hopefully it'll be next week, redfishchuck.com. And that's Ryan Blair from Blair Designs, Inc. If you guys have a fishing club that you're a part of, or if you just need a design done for your own personal use, whether it be for business or just for pleasure, look up Blair Designs, Inc. Ryan is, again, a very good friend of mine, and probably the most talented guy that I've ever seen as far as design work goes. So he did a couple of designs for me for a shirt line that I was going to come out with, and that's on the back burner at the moment, but as soon as the funds are available, hopefully you guys should be seeing that coming. But yeah, so that's awesome, man. I was super excited about that. We're going to try and get something done here shortly, a design for the logo for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. And if you guys aren't familiar, Space Coast Kayak Anglers, the group on Facebook and on yakangler.com, our good friends over there at yakangler.com, Adam and Mark, have put together a section on yakangler.com where you can start your own little group, if you'd like, kayak fishing group in your area. And so I decided to do one here for the Space Coast. So anyhow, we'll be holding some meetings up there at Kayaks by Bo in Titusville as soon as they're open. We'll have some seminars going on up there. And thinking we're going to try and get us down in the strike zone, too, down in Melbourne a little bit, for the guys that are in the south end of the county. They don't want to make the trek all the way up to Titusville. But, yeah, so that should be really cool. A bunch of good things coming. But, as I said, as I know dates for these events, I'll post them on the Yak Angler Facebook page. YakAngler.com. Also, too, on my Facebook page and on the Kayak Fishing Radio Facebook page. So, if you guys are not followers of any of those pages, please do so, especially YakAngler.com. It is your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Rob, are you at your control panel there?
No, but okay. I'll head there in a second.
No problem.
I know what you're wanting me to do.
That's cool. But anyhow, so tonight's topic of conversation is going to be fishing Port Canaveral area, the port as we locals like to call it. It is a it's probably one of the most diverse areas to fish in the entire Space Coast area. Even more so than Mosquito Lagoon, the Indian Banana River. No, that's not it. it's crazy.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. But a little delayed, but we're good. This is going to be the mishmash show of the week, I believe. I've been thrown off. Rob, I've been thrown off, man. My game is gone, man. Got all flustered and stressed out. I was like 7:58 and I couldn't get the thing going. But anyhow, so yeah, Port Canaveral. Let's talk about the port, shall we? You've got an area where you can literally fish multiple depth zones, going from anything from a foot or two of water all the way down to as deep as 45 foot. In certain areas. The beauty of this is it allows a lot of the ocean creatures, your snapper species, your grouper species, even king mackerel have been caught inside Port Canaveral. I've seen cobia caught inside Port Canaveral. There's sharks to be caught. There's big stingrays to be caught. There's all kinds of things going on. The port is locked. There is a lock at the end of the port. So it's not free flowing into the intercoastal like, say, Sebastian would be, which for fishermen is a good thing. For kayak fishermen, it's a really good thing because we don't have to worry about dealing with current. If you ever thought of going down to Sebastian and fishing Sebastian Inlet in your kayak, two things you need to make sure you do: A, go get your head checked, and B, make sure you have a will set up and somebody knows about that will and wear a life vest so that they can recover your body. Yeah, and notify the Coast Guard that you're going to attempt to navigate the Sebastian Inlet, because it's not exactly kayak fisherman friendly. The current that rages through there is pretty significant. It's even hairy to fish. It's hairy to drift it in a motorboat, let alone thinking about even doing it in a kayak. So stay away from that. Rather, if you want to try and get that kind of fishery, head up to Port Canaveral. You do have a tide movement, but it's not a swift tide movement. The water level rises and falls. You don't really get that pull that you would have in other inlets. So makes for actually pretty easy fishing. Let's see. If you want to target fish, say you have a specific species that you want to try and target, it's no different than if you were to think of it in a level of being able to fish it, say, on a Well, let's just pick flounder, for instance. Typical areas you want to look for flounder in the intercoastal or offshore or whatever, around sandy edges, sandy drop-offs, that kind of thing. And then if you're looking for that same sandy area in the port, simple. The cruise ship terminal area, it's got the entrance itself has a gray area that's just like that. The back basin, or the center basin, we call it the back basin, center basin, where the where Morton Salt is located. That's a great area. It's got a good transitional sandy kind of a bottom thing going on. Let's see. I'm back in there now, Rob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just so you know. So let's see. Yeah, if Pepe said he fished Sebastian and a yak. Is that what he said? Yeah. Cool. Sorry, guys. So, yeah. the nice thing about the port is that there's very little boat traffic in the evening hours. So, if you decide to go out and fish, say, right before sundown, you might see a few vessels the entire evening while you're out fishing, which is nice because it makes it really kind of really calm, really kind of surreal. You're surrounded by cruise terminals and cargo ships and all kinds of large buildings and whatnot. I just want to make sure real quick that I've got control in the on the board real fast. Yeah, I do. But my personal favorite fish to target in and around Port Canaveral is the mangrove snappers and flounders. The mangrove snappers really start to fire off this time of year, going into the summertime when we're going to start to see afternoon thunderstorms and that kind of thing. Man, it just gets crazy out here around the summertime. So the easiest way to go out and target these fish is to, I would say, just head out. First let's get to this. There's launch areas, okay? There's two launch areas inside Port Canaveral that you can legally launch from. Keyword, unlegally. Don't try and be super culvert operation-like in the port because it's patrolled by, I believe, four different municipalities. So you will get caught, you will get trespassed, and you will not be able to fish in Port Canaveral probably for a few years if you're in an area you're not supposed to be in. With that being said, you've got two different spots to launch. You've got Port Zen Park, which is down off of Mullet Road. Then you have the Grills Ramp over by Grills Restaurant. For you locals, you know exactly what I'm talking about. No, Grills isn't a banjo, isn't a deer type restaurant. Grills is more of a more of a chill, drink cold beer, watch some follies. And that's another thing too. If you come out to the
Mullet
port,
Road.
Oh, Mullet Road, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Whatever. So if you come out to the port early and you want to go out and you think, okay, well, I'm here a little early, I really want to wait and let the sun kind of settle a little bit, go stop by Grill, sit out there by the tiki bar, and watch the tramp follies. Watch all the guys who are coming back in from being offshore all day long who are dehydrated and full of alcohol, and watch them try and load their boats on trailers.
Yeah.
That is probably the most fun you will ever have. I watched a guy last year go to pull a brand new 36-foot yellowfin out of the ramp, and whoever his buddy was that was supposed to make sure to chain the front end of the boat to the trailer forgot to do that. And let's just say that the hull of the brand new yellowfin met the pavement of the boat ramp pretty hard. It didn't sink because it never made it back down to the water, but It was pretty ugly. But anyway, so the Grills ramp is really cool. You've got a lot of, you've got three options for ramp, for launching there. You've got three different boat ramps. I can tell you this from personal experience, that if you're going to launch your kayak at Port Canaveral's, either one of the ramps, you need to do it, and you need to do it in a hurry. No standing around lollygagging. If you're a milk crater, I would suggest that you try and cut down on the amount of things you bring with you in your milk crate so you don't have to keep making trips back to the truck. Because if you're launching during a busy period, if you're launching during a busy period of the evening, it's the bat phone, then you're gonna encounter some unkind folks that are in a hurry to launch their vessels, and the ramp can get a little bit busy. As the sun sets, that all slows down. You don't have to worry about it. I typically try to fish the port at night from, I would say, around 8 o'clock, 8:30, on through till whenever you feel that you can't possibly fish any longer. So if 2, 3, 4 o'clock roll around and you feel like you can still go at it, feel free. The fish aren't going to slow down. In fact, the bite only gets better as the night progresses. Targeting those fish is as simple as just remembering that most of the fish you want to target that are going to be in the port, i.e. your snook, your snapper, your grouper, your sheephead, your triple tail, flounder, almost all of those fish are of ambush type predators, and they're very structure oriented. So you'll find that the entire port is basically one giant piece of structure. There's docks and pylons, and there's some submerged walls and just some crazy stuff that goes on inside the port, which makes for a great fishery, makes for a great place to go and just target multiple different species. I got a caller on the line. Is that you, Rob, 727, or is that
Peppy? Yeah. No, that's me.
Oh, okay. Peppy, call me. Oh, you log out? I need to pause back in. Call in, man. It's the number. Guys, Sue, I'm sorry, man. I'm kind of scatterbrained tonight. If you want to call in and talk, ask any questions or give your two cents about fishing the area or just fishing wherever. You want to call and give me a fishing report from, I don't care. Greg, you want to call me from New Hampshire and tell me what you've been catching, please do. It's 714-816-4727. 714-816-4727. So, yeah, man, just call in. But anyway, if you're going to go out and you're going to try and target all those fish, just remember that the port itself is basically one giant piece of structure. Hit those pylons, hit those dock lights, hit those submerged walls. Any of your submerged walls and that kind of thing, you can find, you should have no problem whatsoever finding mangrove snappers, lane snappers, every now and again, small mahogany snappers or Kubera snappers. You'll find some baby Goliath groupers, some big Goliath groupers. You'll also find baby gag groupers I've caught there. Baby red groupers I've caught in there. The triple tail at night, you'll see them floating around dock lights and stuff. But super, super easy. Go to the bait shop. You've got truly only one option, in my opinion, for live bait in the port, and that's Sunrise Marina. Hit up Sunrise Marina, get as many live shrimp as your bucket or your cooler could possibly hold. Or if you have a Jackson Kayak big tuna, you don't have to worry about that because you got an integrated live well. Is that you, bud? Peppy.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey, it's Peppy.
What's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. I was just talking about getting live shrimp and taking them out there to the port and targeting, you know, random species. But stop by Sunrise Marina and pick up all the live shrimp you can possibly carry. And I tell you that, and I can't emphasize the importance of carrying as much bait as you possibly can, because you will find yourself in a corner where you have two seawalls that meet, and there will be a submerged wall there. There'll be a little rubble pile below you. and you can literally sit in one spot, never move, and have action all night long, catching mangrove snappers, catching snook, occasional triple tail swim by, a redfish will swim by. Yeah, it gets kind of crazy. And but, you know, having good live bait is not that important. And when I say that, sizable bait is not that important. Elephants eat peanuts, folks, so just remember that. As the summer progresses, we're going to stop being able to go out into the local shop and be like, hey, I need 3 or 4 dozen handpicks. You know what I'm saying? So you can go in there and just get small shrimp, whatever, regular shrimp, and I try to leave the dock with no less than, I would say, at least 6 dozen. If you can manage that on the kayak, that's a great number. Six dozen will get you at least through most of the evening. If you find that you're having a hard time keeping that many shrimp alive, it's not a big deal. Fish them just like they were alive. Free line them just like you would if they were alive, or with a small split shot. We'll get into some rigs here shortly, but it's really, really effective to have that much live bait, because you're gonna go through it really quick, but B, you can start your own chum line. You know, take a handful of them, kind of squish them just a little bit so that it messes them up. Throw them off behind your kayak. And as the current the wind current, if you will, kind of slowly pulls those shrimp away from you, those mangrove snappers will come off the wall, or off the rubble pile. The sheephead will do the same thing. The flounder will move around on the bottom, get excited. So anyways, let's see. You can try a chum block. You can try chum bags. I'm not a big fan of that at night. It is basically the ocean, and bull sharks like to come in and out of the port at times, and I'm not hanging a Snickers bar over the side of my kayak at night in 40 foot of water. That's just, I hear the jaws theme in my head thinking about it. Thank you, Rob. But, ridiculous. Sebby, have you fished the port at all at night?
No, I haven't.
Or during the day?
Yeah, that's one thing I haven't done, is fish the port. Never really enticed me, I don't know, I just haven't gotten into it or nothing. I haven't tried it. Maybe one day I'll try it with you, or one night, and see what it's like.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's worth it, trust me. It's one of the main reasons why I like fishing the port so much is because you never know what you're going to catch. Like, every time you throw a shrimp off the side of the boat, or a jig, or whatever you want to throw, you truly never know what you're going to catch. We were fishing for snook one night, and we're all throwing Yuzuri crystal minnows and bomber plugs and that kind of thing. And one of my buddies was throwing a crystal minnow right above a submerged wall, and we saw a big boil right behind it, missed it. And so he threw back in there again and ended up pulling a 5.5-pound mangrove snapper out of there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a 5.5-pound mangrove snapper. Like, that's ridiculous for being inshore. Every now and again, guys down at Sebastian Inlet will find them that size. Sometimes even a little bit bigger, but rare on occasion. And those are the guys that are fishing shoulder to shoulder on the jetty. They're there. It's just a matter of weeding through the smaller ones. And when I say smaller mangroves, an average fish that I would catch out there would probably have to be in the pound to 2.5-pound range. Definitely keepers. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you don't have to measure some of these fish. You know that they're legal. In fact, during the daylight hours, right before dark, if you can see in the water by standing up in the kayak or just by looking down, you could almost sight fish the mangrove snappers, because you'll watch them, you'll drop a shrimp down and just let it really slowly kind of fall, and you can see them swim away from the wall or swim away from the rock pile and swim up towards your shrimp. And if it's a little one, you just kind of pull it away from them a little bit. And the bigger ones, will leave the rock or leave the wall and head out a little bit further to feed than the smaller ones will. So you can actually kind of see where that cutoff is for those fish. And they'll turn around and head back. The smaller ones will, while the bigger ones will come out. So it's pretty cool. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. And like I said, I've caught everything that there is to catch inshore in Port Canaveral, and a bunch of offshore species in Port Canaveral as well, as far as the snappers go. And it's easy fishing. One thing I definitely highly recommend to anyone who would think about coming down to the Space Coast and maybe venturing out there to Port Canaveral and fish is do yourselves a favor and get an anchor, a real anchor, not a stakeout pole. I mean, you need an anchor, and you need at least, I would say, 60 foot of rope or of some kind of twine, because if the wind blows and you're in the cruise ship basin, it's going to want to spin you around in circles, and sometimes it's hard to get even a heavy, like a downrigger ball, to stay in one spot. And if you're on a really good bite, the last thing you want to do is have to keep repositioning. So that's really important that you make sure you have that. And also, too, obviously your safety equipment, wear your PFD at night, wear it all the time, but really wear it there. Make sure you have your lights that you need legally to be able to fish at night. Your white light behind your seat is good. If you don't have a homemade visipole, if you will, check out Yak Attack and give Luther a shot. And the visipole is everywhere. I see guys with it all the time, so it's a great tool. Or you can use a headlamp. Nothing says it has to be mounted to the back of the kayak. You can use a headlamp as far as your light concerned. They would prefer for you to use the 360 degree view, but I've been stopped before and in the morning hours, and FWC has told me before, as long as you've got a light that you can, if you hear something coming, you can stare at it so they see you, then you're good. And a sounding device, whether it be a whistle, an air horn, or what have you. A whistle's not going to do you a whole lot of good in Port Canaveral. Yeah, it's just such a big area. I mean, people are whistling outside of the bars at night, you know, who knows. Air horn's a bit better, even better than that yet, a VHF radio that you can contact Coast Guard Station, which is a stone's throw from where you're going to want to fish anyway. But those types of things are important. It's different, man. It can be very technical at times, the port that is. And then there's days where it's just dumb, and you can throw anything you want. Gulp, you can throw shad tails, Bass Assassin style, or 12 fathom, or you know, whoever, and land the same species of fish on plastics. So, but for me, the challenge of targeting a specific species and trying to just hone in and get my limit, say, of mangrove snappers, It's fun, you know, and once you get two or three of them in the cooler, then now you're going to want to switch things up a little bit. You might want to experiment a little bit because you know you're on them, and it makes for a fun evening. It's better to random.
Hey, there was a whistle in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's better to do. It's better to go out there in numbers, a couple of kayakers that, you know, with you, and kind of divide and conquer. And when somebody gets on a real hot bite, kind of call your buddies over and kind of work over an area pretty good. But for me, one of the things I really like to do is I've got four or five spots in the first cruise or in the cruise ship terminals that are my go-to. I know I'll catch something there. And it's really easy to find them. I'm not giving out any super secrets or whatever. When you go into the cruise ship basin, and by the way, you're not allowed in the cruise ship basin if the cruise ships are still in the basin. And the cruise ships leave at 4:30 every day. So as long as you're patient and you wait your turn, When they leave, you can go in. I would suggest, however, that you spend some time fishing from the bridge, which is just to the west of that, to the cruise ship basin, and kind of work that area back and forth. There's a nice sandy area that you can work over right by the parking garage. And I know this is Spanish to everyone that's listening that's not familiar with the area, but when you get there, you'll see it. You can't miss it. That sandy area tends to hold a lot more of your typical inshore fish, your redfish, your flounder, your trout, that kind of thing, because you're talking about, I guess, the deepest it would be before you hit the channel, 8 feet. But it tends to stay pretty skinny. It tends to be about 3.5-4 foot to nothing but to the bank. So that's a really cool and fun place to kind of drift and fish. But as those cruise ships leave, I usually give the cruise terminal itself a good hour or so to settle before I head in there, because you gotta figure those big giant props on the bottom of those cruise ships are turning sometimes at a pretty rapid rate, and the bow thrusters as well, to get those things turned around to head out of the port. They're going to stir the bottom up a little bit and kind of mess fish up for a few minutes. So just give them some time to kind of get readjusted to, you know, the calm water after the storm, if you will, as those ships are trying to leave. But slide up in there. As you make your way into the cruise ship basin, you'll notice on your left-hand side, or on your northern side, there'll be some rocks that will lead around to a seawall. That rocky area there is a great place for ambushing snook, especially right now when the mullets are to show up, because this mullet will swim real tight to those rocks, and when they make their turn around that corner, the water depth drops from, I'd say, 1.5 feet, 2 feet down to about 6 feet. So once they kind of come over that edge right there, it's on. And you can sit there, again, from, I would say, probably about 5 o'clock in the evening, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, till 2 in the morning, and pick through snook if you're patient. My baits of choice for those, for sure, are lip plugs. They're just easy to control, easy to cast, even if there's a little bit of a wind. Something with a lip on it, nothing too severe, because you're not like a deep water crankbait. You don't want it to run across the bottom. You'll hang in a rock. But, like, again, a Yuzuri crystal minnow works really well. A bomber, wind cheater, is probably one of my all-time favorite snook baits. You can use soft plastics for them if you want to. I just find that I get much more reaction out of them when I'm fishing with a lip plug. But, yeah, it's that area there is really productive, man, and you can find a pretty good number of flounder in there as well on that same area, that same drop. And then you start to pick up your mangrove snappers as you move into the basin. You'll notice when you go in, especially at night, there's 3 or 4 spots that are heavily lit. There's a lot of light really shining down in the water. And, Rob, I know you're a huge fan of fishing lighted docks or lit docks, but this is like lit docks on steroids out here. There's just so much to fish, and as long as you remember that most of the fish you're trying to target are ambush predators, you'll do just fine. The snook especially, you'll throw the crystal minnow up into the shadow, and as soon as you pull it into the light and then back into the shadow is usually when you get nailed. And gear is important. Size of gear you're going to use out there is important. This is not the place to bring your typical redfish combo, your 6 to 12 pound rod with 10 pound Power Pro. No, this is big boy land with monsters that lurk about at night. So the hook a 25 pound snook is not unheard of. In fact, it's quite common out there, and you'll never turn them on a 6 to 12 pound rod. It won't happen. It'll be a very expensive night with many plugs lost if that's the way you try to go about it. But, you know, the mangroves, to me, are truly probably my go-to species in the port, just because I like eating them. They fight pretty good for being a small fish. And they're really easy to target. So, yeah, I don't know. That's my spiel about the cruise ship basin itself. I mean, the way I rig for the mangrove snappers is pretty easy. It's pretty simple. A live bait style hook, the number one, or a 1-0 live bait style hook, and then I'll throw a split shot on there if there's a bit of wind or if there's a little bit of a current. If the shrimp are real small, I'll fish a small split shot just to give them enough weight to kind of help them sink. But a really important fact right here, or a tip right here, is make sure when you're flipping the shrimp over towards the seawall or towards the dock or towards the rock pile, whatever, that you do so with the bail being open. Leave the bail open, right? So the bait hits the water. A lot of most of us want to instinctively close the bail. No, leave the bail open. Keep finger tension on the line, and as that shrimp sinks down about 6 inches, 10 inches, 12 inches, it's all right. All of a sudden, you'll start to feel the typical tap, tap, tap from a mangrove, and then the line will shoot out from your fingers. Well, mangrove snapper is schooling fish, right? The big boy or whichever one's a lucky enough one or unlucky one, however, whichever way you look at it, to eat your shrimp. As soon as he eats it, he's gone. He's taken off to get away from the rest of them so they don't try and steal his meal. Well, let him run a little bit, and not very long. Maybe give him a good 5 foot or so to run, and then put the wood to him. And I'm telling you, it works like a charm. If you can't bring yourself to do it, at least fish with a little bit of slack out. Don't fish with your line super tight to your bait. This way here, when they pick it up, there's no real resistance. They can kind of take off with it and feel comfortable with it. Because mangrove snapper are probably one of the smartest of the snapper species. And anything that doesn't feel natural to them on the bite, they'll usually spit it out. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. Yeah, Pepe, we got to get out there, man. It's crazy to fish in the port. There's a whole lot of different species out there that you can target in a single evening, so it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. I'm just not a big bait chucker. That's my problem. I get 40s of me, man. I'm not a big bait chucker, man. I get bored when I sit there sometimes with bait, you know. That's why I don't target stuff like that. The only time I really target fish like that with bait is, you know, when I go down to the Keys or something like that, and fishing for dolphins sometimes, you know, but as far as throwing bait, that's my problem. But I'll do it. I'll try it. I'll try it one night, but I'll probably be over there by those rocks targeting those snook instead, doing it to the snapper.
Yeah. No, and you know what, man, it's funny is I'm the exact same way. 99.999% of the time when I'm on the water, I'm throwing artificials. But I'm telling you, it's like, because to me, when I think of bait fishing, I think of throw out a chunk of ladyfish and sit there for 30 minutes and hope something comes by to eat it. And yep. I think my ADD or whatever kicks in and I can't bring myself to do it. Out here in the port, you don't have that luxury. You don't have the opportunity to, let me throw this shrimp out and put the rod in a rod holder and grab a snack. No, if the bite's on, it's like as soon as the shrimp sinks a foot below the surface, it's on. So I have, in a boat now, I've picked up 15 dozen shrimp one night. Me and my buddy picked up 15 dozen shrimp. And he thought I was crazy. He's like, how many shrimp do you want to get? I'm like, 15 dozen. He's like, 15 dozen? So we get out there, and we set up on the one spot that I really like to fish, and the bite was absolutely incredible. And we were going through shrimp hand over fist. I mean, it was so crazy that I didn't even want to walk back to the back of the boat anymore. I was up on the bow. He was on the back. So I just found a little small bait bucket in the bottom of his boat and loaded it up with shrimp and just sat it right next to me up on the bow. And it was like for an hour and a half, as fast as you can get a bait in the water, you're hooking a fish. And it was a smorgasbord of mangrove snappers, look downs, sheephead, small groupers, redfish, ladyfish, jackrevilles, snook, bluefish, Spanish mackerel. It was the most ridiculous thing. And we blew through that 15 dozen shrimp in 3.5 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were done. We literally, I was scraping the bottom of the bait well looking for another shrimp just because the bite was still going on, and we didn't have a shrimp one left. And finally I found, right before we were ready to pull up the anchor and leave, I found a shrimp head that one of our fish must have spit out. And I stuck it on the hook and threw it out there, and right then I caught a nice fish. So, you know, it can be really, really good that way. Also, too, most of us like to sight fish. I know I do. I know you do. I know Rob does. One of the really cool and unique things about the port is certain areas you can sight fish the snook, and you can sight fish like the triple tail and some of the other creatures that roam around at night. There's a spot in the port that's got a sandy bottom to it, and it's really shallow. It's maybe 1.5 feet deep. And there's a giant street light that's just beyond this spot, but it's bright enough to where it lights up the water. And if you creep in nice and slow, I mean, and stay out a little ways and just look for the shadows moving around on the sand, 9 times out of 10 they're snook. And you can throw a lip plug past them, really past their face, and watch them explode on it, or a topwater plug, or a live mullet, or whatever you want to throw. So it makes for some really exciting fishing. I wouldn't personally, I probably wouldn't be so brave as to venture out to the jetties at night yet. I haven't done it in the kayak. I've fished it quite a bit in the boat, but the only problem is if the wind picks up out there, now you're a victim of the ocean. And I mean, most of us are pretty good paddlers, but if that ocean picks up quick, you don't really have much of a chance, you know what I'm saying? So, also, too, if one of the casino boats comes and goes or what have you, they tend to throw a pretty good wake, and it's kind of dangerous to fish around the jetty when that happens. But the jetty's a great place to target during the daylight hours if you wanted to try and do that. I've fished it a couple of times in the daylight hours, and it's real productive. Same thing, mangrove snappers, flounders, redfish, snook, black drum. You'll find some small spinner sharks, some small nurse sharks. You'll find some small groupers out there, bluefish and Spanish mackerel. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you can throw artificials if you want to. I know that most of us want to. I've fished plenty of jerk shads out there at the jetty and done real well on just about everything that swims out there. Shad tails along the bottom for the flounder. Yeah, so there you go. But so what else is new? Give me something to talk about. I know you just fished this weekend, Pappy. Tell me about it, buddy.
Yeah, I fished on Saturday. Went over to the north part of the Indian River up in that area over there, and it was flat, calm, all morning long. I mean, from sunrise all the way up to about, I was out there till about 11 o'clock in the morning, and there was not a gust of wind. There was nothing. I mean, it was flat, flat, calm the whole morning. I must have caught anywhere between, I don't know, somewhere between 15 to 20 trout easily, all between 20 to 25 inches. And they were hitting just about anything you threw at them. I mean, I was sight casting at them because it was just that calm and that clear of the water. I was just casting at them, and just they were hitting just about everything. And then after a while, I pulled out this big, I don't know if you've seen, I got this big, it's made by Tsunami. Tsunami, this big topwater plug about 8 inches. You know, it's about 8 inches long, a really big top water plug. And I threw that thing out, man, and they were whacking that big old thing. I had trout that were probably smaller than that, than the plug hitting that thing. Yeah, it was a great awesome. Morning as far as, what's that?
That's awesome.
Yeah, none. And as far as the reds, though, didn't see many reds, though, as far as calm as the water was and everything like that, did not see many reds. Saw, I caught one red, about 19, 20, something like that, and that's it. And I saw one tailing red far away. I mean, he was far where we were and over stayed still, but never went around. I don't know. Somebody early in the morning, somebody hooked the big red. Somebody hooked the 34-inch red early in the morning, and it died out there. Somebody, I don't know if they gut hooked it or what, but I was paddling in a certain area there, and I saw something white on the bottom, and when I looked to see, it's a big old red in the bottom right there. So I picked him up with my paddle, and you could tell he was still fresh. You know, somebody had killed him that morning and pulled him up and measured him just to see how big, and it was a 34-inch red that somebody killed. I don't know how he died, but somebody, you know, things like that happens, but I just hate seeing it. You know, I hate seeing a big red like that being killed. So that was my day on Saturday. I know some other guys went out yesterday, but I haven't heard back from them yet. I haven't gotten a report. I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Good too.
The dead fish on the bottom is never a good sign. And I'll tell you what, it's something that we're going to talk a lot more about as the season progresses and we get deeper and deeper into the end of the summer. That, folks, you got to understand that the water temperature down here is pretty warm, downright hot at times. And if you're trying to target the big fish that swim in the river, i.e. the big black drum, the redfish, and that kind of thing, the overslot fish, you really, really have to go after them with the right gear. Don't bring out your 6 to 12 pound class rods with your 10 pound braid and or your 12 pound monofilament. It's fun. It's a great battle. It's sporty. I get it. It's what I use on a day. On every time I'm on the water, it's all I fish with. But we don't have a citation program, unfortunately. So sorry, jumping back and forth. That's in the chat room. They were asking if we have a Florida a citation program. For those of you who are not familiar with the citation program, other states do what's called a citation program, where you catch a fish over a certain size, and it's considered a citation fish, and you get a little, a certificate, like an award for catching that fish. But no, unfortunately, we don't have that here. But if you're going to target breeder fish, you're going to target the big breeder reds that frequent the flats in the summertime. You know, your 30-plus inch fish all the way up to 50-inch fish, and even sometimes bigger than that, don't do it with a light rod. Don't be Captain Sporty and go out there and try and make it happen because it looks cool or it's fun. And you got to understand, you wouldn't go offshore and do the same thing for a fish the same size. So, you know, treat the fish with a little bit more respect rather than wearing them out. It's bad enough that we're in kayaks and these fish tend to pull us around sled rides, and you know, that's all fun and well and good, but in the summertime when you hook a 50-inch fish and he pulls you across a flat for a quarter mile and he's wore himself out to death and you pop a hook out of his face, then lift him out of the water for a minute or two to get a picture and then put him back in the water and try and do the whole, let me hold his tail and slosh him back and forth and let go. That doesn't work out so well. And all you're doing is killing off our breeder population. So, yeah, good topic to bring up, though, bro, because that's definitely one on my list that I need to really drive home, especially doing seminars and talking here on the radio show and that kind of thing. And again, I get it. It's fun to catch big fish and light tackle. The time to do that's in the wintertime. The water's nice and cool. It's full of oxygen. you don't really have to worry about wearing those fish out to the point of complete and utter exhaustion. And because usually in the wintertime anyway, you can whoop them pretty quick. They're sluggish, you know.
Yep.
And they'll feed just good. And you're not going to do nearly the hurt. You're not going to put nearly the hurting on the fish as you will in the summer. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, it's like
that's
fishing
right.
A DJ bath run.
Yep, and now the other one that people got to be careful with now in the summertime even more, I mean, they're sensitive at all times, but even in the summertime even more, is the trout. Those trout are really sensitive in the summertime. I mean, you really got to try to put them back in the water as soon as you can, and that slime that they have on their body, you got to try. You know, it's really hard to grab those fish and not take that slime off, but those trout are really sensitive. I mean, I caught one the other day, and I barely had him in the boat for hardly any time, and I sat there. I must have sat there at least 15 to 20 minutes reviving this fish because he would not go back. And I did not have this fish in the boat for more than probably no more than 2 or 3 minutes, and at the most, that's what I had him on there, and he was just, I could not revive him. I had to get out of the kayak and sit there in the water just trying to revive them. I mean, they're really, really sensitive, those fish. And
I'll do the same thing when I catch a big redfish or a big trout in the summer. I'll actually get out of the boat and get down, you know, as close to being on my knees in the water as I can if I'm shallow enough, of course. And kind of cradle the fish to me as he comes to me and never really even take him out of the water at all. If you whoop him pretty quick, you can get a hold of him, you know, with your hand underwater, you grab a hold of the fish and pull him to you. And just by holding him underwater, you're going to help to protect that slime layer. Your hands are wet, you're wet, you know what I'm saying? So you're not really affecting the fish nearly as bad. And I hear a lot of people talk about that. Well, just dip your hand in the water, reach down and grab the fish. It actually does help. One of the things you'll notice with the trout especially is if you grab them and you've removed a lot of slime, they actually turn color in the areas where you've roughed them up a little bit. It'll turn almost like a metallic kind of color. So it's interesting, but it's sad all at the same time because you'll be paddling along the flat and look down and there's a 20-plus-inch trout just laying dead on the bottom for no apparent reason. You can't really tell. There's no, you know, lure in his face or whatever. So, and there's a spot in the south end of the Mosquito Lagoon that is notorious for guys coming out and trying to catch big fish. I mean, it's like the mecca for the big breeder redfish. And I've watched guys go in there and hook two or three giants at a time on one boat and, you know, fight one of them while your buddy's in the back of, you know, on a flats boat, your buddy's in the back of the boat fighting another one. And, you know, it's like playing, fire drill, trying to run around the boat and unhook and hook fish as fast as you can. And, you know, in that whole melee, one or two of those fish aren't going to get the proper care that's needed to allow them to kind of revive and swim off. When the boat leaves for the day and you go paddling past where he was at, almost every time you'll find one good-sized breeder fish laying on the bottom. If he's not dead, he's close to death. And, you know, once you whoop him that bad, you get to that point where no matter how much time you spend with him in the water, you can't bring him back. So, you know, it's something definitely to think about. Well, that's cool, man.
And just
had a good day on the trout.
Yeah, and just to let you know, that spot you're talking about with the big breeders, they were there this weekend. I got a report. They were there.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, man. It's like clockwork. Every spring, those big breeders show up and they hang out all spring and all summer long. And if you're in the area of the Mosquito Lagoon and you want to go catch a giant redfish, my recommendation would be to bring a somewhat of a heavier rod and reel combo with you, something like a 4 to 8,000 size spinner reel. If you're into bait casters, just a big heavy bait caster. relatively stout rod, something in the 12 to 20 pound class range, and a chunk of ladyfish or a mullet head or whatever, and have fun. It's really not that difficult to catch those big breeder fish. My biggest personal fish out of the kayak, redfish wise, is 52 inches, and that was on a mullet head. So, you know, it's a monster. No, yeah, he was a freaking pig, for sure. It's not really my cup of tea anymore, man. I've caught tons of big ones down around Sebastian Inlet growing up, and tons of them up in the lagoon and the river. I really like catching those slot fish and even rats, man. I get a kick out of catching rat reds too on occasion. So, but cool. Well, we've discussed just about, I think, everything I can think about to talk about the sport. If you guys have any questions regarding anything we spoke about tonight, feel free to email me, chuckskayakadventure@hotmail.com. You can look at Facebook if we're not friends. Send me a request. If you guys are not part of Space Coast Kayak Angler, please do so. Send me a request to be a part of it, and we'll get you approved. And you can enjoy some of the benefits that come along with being a part of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, which will grow as we get bigger. That's kind of the thing that I've been hearing from the companies I've gotten in touch with is, well, once you get more, you know, a few more people, you know, give us a shout back, let us know. They basically want to make sure that whatever it is they do is going to be beneficial to them as much as it is for us. Kayaks by Bow has stepped up and pretty much made themselves our official kind of hangout spot. I'm going to talk with Sean down at Strike Zone in Melbourne here shortly and find out whether or not he would be okay with having us be there for some seminars and that kind of thing. And yeah, look forward to that. So that could be really good. Again, I know I talked about it earlier. I just want to give Ryan Blair a shout out. I really appreciate the support. He's going to step up and do some crazy design work for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. And so to look forward to that, man. I'm just so stoked on it. If you guys need any kind of design work done, whether it be for clothing or for a business or your own personal use or what have you, Blair, BLAIR, Designs, Inc., is his company. Ryan Blair's on Facebook. You can find him on Facebook as well. I don't know if Blair has a Facebook page for his design company or not, but most of his design stuff's on his personal page. Ryan Blair. So yeah, appreciate that, man. Thanks very much for stepping up. Pretty awesome. Rob says he needs an animated logo. So get a hold of him. I'm sure he can do it, man. The guy's super talented. So yeah, there you go. But real quick, I'm gonna run through my sponsor list. I do it every episode, so you guys. Be prepared for the NASCAR speech. Jackson Kayaks, Yeti Coolers. Yeah, I know. It's Jackson Kayaks, Yeti Coolers.
Boondoggle. 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 What the heck? Boondoggle. Check out.
You're killing me. Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. Everyone's all excited about the boondoggle. It's coming up Columbus Day weekend up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. There you go. It's going to be at the, was it First Landing State Park?
Yes.
Yes, First Landing State Park on the shores of the, whatchamacallit there?
The Vaunted. Just Virginia Beach. The
Chesapeake Bay.
Bridge Tunnel. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, that thing out there. That thing.
Yeah, that big body of water they got up there, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But,
wait, Bay Bridge Tunnels in San Francisco. Sorry.
take it easy, Greg. You got to run, buddy. I appreciate you being here. Yep, those guys, it's going to be a lot of fun. Up there at the Boondoggle should be a great time. We had a great time down in Chokoloski, and I'm looking forward to still trying to make it up there to the Virginia Beach deal. But yakangler.com. I can't stress enough how awesome those guys are and what they've put together for us. If you're not a member of yakangler.com, become one. Bloody Decks out of California. 80,000 members that website has. If you guys have any kind of angling questions for all around the world, feel free to get a hold of the guys over at Bloody Decks. I'm sure there's somebody there that can help you out. On a side note, I got to give a huge congratulations to Patrick Sabile from Sabile Lures. That guy killed it this past year with IGFA World Records. I think he had the second most IGFA World Records placed last year. And he is he's on it, man. He's going all around the world catching all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know if any of you guys are fans of his on Facebook, but it seems like every day or every week he's in a different location, and it's been crazy. But if you haven't checked out Sabile Lures, check them out. They're in the Pure Fishing family of tackle now. Patrick and Pure Fishing have teamed up. I'm looking forward to having Patrick on the show here shortly as a guest in the coming weeks. So look for that. And that's pretty much it, man. That's about all I got. So, Rob, man, I really appreciate you bailing me out, buddy.
Sure, man. Not a problem.
Yeah,
glad I remembered how to do it.
Yeah. So am I. And to everyone who's been listening who heard silence for 4 minutes and hung in there for me, I really appreciate it, man. It means a lot to me. You guys take your time out of your busy days to sit down and listen to me blabble about fishing. So
Chuck,
pretty cool.
You know, back in the day when I used to have a radio show, we used to make sure that we was logged in by 1:45.
You got a low country boil in my pants.
Sorry.
For those of you that know what we're talking about, that's those are the epic words of our leader.
Oh, no.
Mr. Chip Gibson via the voiceover of Mr. Rob DeVore. If you go to our boondoggle up in Virginia Beach, you'll find out exactly what he's talking about. And it is about a low country boil. Has nothing to do with britches. But anyway, it's getting crazy. Peppy.
Yes, sir.
You fishing this week or weekend?
Yes, I'm fishing this weekend. I don't know if I'm fishing during the week, but I am probably fishing on Saturday. I got invited to fish in the Central Florida shootout, so I might be fishing that. I don't know if I'm fishing that or not. Might be doing that. And then next week and the weekend after that, when I got the big Jacksonville Classic tournament, fishing in that one for sure, the biggest kayak fishing tournament in the world.
Sweet.
So, yeah, too bad I can't pre-fish it. That's a little bit too far.
Yeah, you just reminded me, too. For those of you listening to the show, Aaron, who's always in the chat rooms, and he's on yakangler.com as well. Aaron, for those of you that know him, took second place in our offshore tournament we just had over here in the Space Coast for Wahoo this past weekend. So kudos to him for that. Nice fish, almost 50 pounds, 49-pound Wahoo. So that's pretty awesome, man. That's a pretty good fish. He's respectable for sure. And take second place in a tournament that had, I think, 500 registered boats is pretty impressive. So kudos to those guys. They beat out a lot of really good Wahoo fishermen. So for that second place spot.
Awesome.
But what's that?
Can I pimp something here real quick?
Uh-huh.
Don't forget the SWFKAA Spring Kayak Fishing Classic. This is Benita Bob's group down in, it's going to be in Estero, Florida, on May 12th. And for details, visit SWFKAA.com.
Killer.
Yay.
Good deal. Appreciate that. Rob, are you fishing this week or this weekend?
Absolutely. yeah, I didn't get to fish this weekend, and last weekend it was a short trip. So I'm dying to get out, man. I'm like pulling my beard hair out, dying to get out, man. So yeah, we're probably gonna hit St. Joseph Sound, as far as I know, and we're actually fishing a new area. So we'll see how that goes.
Sweet. And what are
Chuck,
you
getting out of fishing this weekend?
Dude, I don't know. I've been working. Listen, last week I was able to get out and not fish, but I was able to go and spend some time with a really good buddy of mine, Jared Duplays, who flew in from LA to go to a ball game with all of us, all of like the old crew, if you will. We got to sit in the front row right behind the dugout because he knows the owner of the Rays. So that was pretty awesome. And I developed an infection in my big toe, which kept me from being at work, but also kept me off the water, obviously. And I've just got back to work a couple days ago, and work has been steady, consistent for, you know, I got 7 days a week. I'm working almost 12-hour days, and, you know, it's like, man, right. Most of y'all know that I've had a time there where I was unemployed, and I got to make it back now. So I'm going to see, you know, what this weekend brings as far as the schedule of work. But I really need to get out on the water, man, for mental clarity and just to spend some time out there. So I'm hoping so. If I do, man, I'll give you a shout. We'll have to try and get together.
Let's do it, man, even if we got to go at night, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm game to go fish. I want to go target all over at night and see what other creatures we can bump into besides reds and black drum.
Oh, yeah. That'll be
cool.
Nice.
Well, everybody, listen, I really appreciate you tuning in. Again, find me on Facebook if we're not friends. Please send us an invite to get involved with Space Coast Kayak Anglers. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. That's all I got to say. Great things are coming for that. And to each and every one of you guys, tight lines, take a kid fishing. And to my boys, Trey and Logan, sleep tight. Daddy needs some sleep. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Oh, yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.